Psalm 110, the Psalm of David, and particularly the first verse. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. I think a good meditation is just to take this verse and to say it to yourselves and to remember it and to dwell on it for some time. It's absolutely glorious, and it takes us literally to heaven as we dwell on the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's perhaps much that can be said about this psalm. It's quoted several times and referred to several times in the New Testament. So I thought we'd turn to those quotations and then try to give some kind of a summary of it. Perhaps first, though, just we see here this speaking of David. It's a psalm of David. It isn't a psalm about David. Some have tried to play it down, what's actually being said here. But the Lord, L-O-R-D in capitals, which means Jehovah, or the special name that God gave, revealed himself to Moses with the burning bush, said unto my Lord, my master, Adonai, the word. Also a word that's used for God. He spoke to him, and this is referring to Christ. We know this because in Matthew 22, verses 42 and 45, then the Lord Jesus speaks to the Pharisees. They were asking him one of their trick questions, as it were. If we want to turn to that, Matthew 22. The Pharisees were gathered, verse 41, together. Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? So they're the ones being presented with a difficult question this time. And they say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto him, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Now the Pharisees were silenced. They didn't say, well, no, this isn't referring to you here. They didn't say this isn't referring to Christ. They knew that this scripture referred to Christ. Otherwise they would have had an answer. Said, no, this is referring to David. They didn't believe it. They believed that this was the Lord, the Father, speaking to the Messiah, to the Christ. And it's only in the AD centuries that the Jews have changed their interpretation, as they have with various of the scriptures, which, if you go back into their early writings, the Old Testament times when they were writing, many of the scriptures they believe referred to the Messiah. And now they say, no, they don't. They must have got them wrong, because they were so plainly undisputed. And so here we have many hundreds of years before Christ in the Old Testament, this great vision that David has of what the Father had spoken with the Son and what he promised him right back in eternity, before David was even created himself. And it gives us a taste. We don't have a great deal of of this given to us, of the fact that the Father and the Son were there before all time. Jesus was with the Father in glory. He speaks in John's Gospels that he's soon to be brought back to the glory which he had with the Father before the beginning of the world, before the foundations of the earth. He was with the Father. And so we have something of the Trinity spoken of here. In fact, it's even said there, didn't it? In Matthew, he said, "How does David in spirit call him Lord?" So perhaps there's something of the Holy Spirit there being mentioned as well. We see that things are planned out by God. And there is this, we talk of the covenant of grace, where the Father and the Son and the Spirit, before the world was created, they somehow planned things. And old Welsh preachers, they often used to speak as the people speaking would have been. "Come in, you're welcome." And that they describe times of when the Father and the Son spoke together, and they planned out this plan, this great plan of salvation, by which thousands upon thousands would become friends of God and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by the drawing of the Father, by the sending of the Holy Spirit. So God isn't to be considered as some would consider him to be isolated, but there is this fellowship and love in God even before the world began, that the Father and the Son and the Spirit have a great love with one another, and indeed the Father here says to the Son, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And so we see the glory of Christ, his victory, and of course these scriptures then are quoted in reference to the resurrection in other ways. In the end of the Gospel of Mark, for example, chapter 16 and verse 19. "So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." So Christ was raised from the dead. He spent 40 days with the disciples, appearing to them at various times and to others. And then he ascended into heaven and sat at the right hand of God, where he still is. We read, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And this promise is fulfilled. This prophecy is fulfilled here. And again in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, which we read. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins." So this is following on, you see, from the cross. "Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." And there's that glorious introduction, as it were, in the book of Hebrews, showing that Christ is greater than the angels in verse 13. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'?" Now here then, we have Christ exalted. Christ raised from the dead, conquering death, and at the right hand of the Father in heaven, where he is until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And he does speak of enemies here, and we can't deny the fact that there are enemies of Christ. There are many enemies of Christ, and perhaps in our day it appears that they're winning, and it could become very disheartened by seeing what's happening, for example, in our country with Romanism and Islam and atheism, all opposed to the true Lord Jesus Christ, and they seem to be winning. But in fact, you see, this is a great truth to encourage us, is that Jesus Christ is reigning. He is at the right hand of the Father, and he's there until his enemies, the enemies of Christ, become his footstool. And so if we're in Christ, we're assured of great and blessed things in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we shouldn't become downhearted if things appear to be going the other way, because this is a sure and certain a prophecy, is that Jesus came and rose from the dead, that he is there in this wonderful place. Verse 5 of this book was one of Martin Luther's, apparently one of his verses he thought was one of the most important in the scriptures. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. The day of the Lord is a day of wrath, and as we were hearing on Friday at the talk about the people's thoughts about Israel, one of the biggest problems today is that people think of Christianity as being for today, only for today. They don't live for the day of the Lord, and this is really regardless virtually of our views on millennial views and all sorts of other questions that come up. Exactly what will happen at the end? We know that there's a great day coming when God will judge the world, and this is the context in which we must see things, that Christ crucified for our sins, yes, for our salvation, yes, and we know these things now, and we enjoy them now in Jesus Christ. But the great day of the Lord is coming, and so this earth as it is will be wound up, and the enemies of God will become his footstool. Of course, that's a footstool that descends right the way down into hell. And the description there is that everything is brought under his feet at that time. And even kings, those in great power and who seem to be ruling this world, they are under God's authority. He has the heart, the king's hearts in his hand. And the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Now, there's also something, I don't want to be too fanciful here, but here that it's the Lord is at thy right hand. And I think that this speaks of the believer, that the Lord is at our right hand. On the one hand, Christ is at the right hand of the Father, but then, as it were, on the right hand of Christ is the believer. And at the right hand of him again is the Father. And so we're held together here by the very firm rule of God. Now in Acts chapter 7, there's a further, just picking up on various thoughts that have really come out from this scripture. Acts chapter 7 and verse 5 and 6. Verse 56. We see that as Stephen is stoned, Stephen one of the deacons that were appointed so that the apostles could get on with their work. He himself became a great preacher and was very bold in his preaching, and he caused the people to become very angry, and some of the times this is a reaction to preaching, as we know. But as he was being stoned to death, he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Well, again, perhaps we don't want to make too much of a point about this here, but the Son of Man, Christ, who sits at the right hand of God, here the idea of sitting is one of rest, one of control and finished work. And yet here, as Stephen is being just about to be received up to heaven, Christ is standing up. We'd be very careful of how we try and express this, but there's a great honour is given even by Christ there to his first martyr, that he is standing at the right hand of God. And so we don't necessarily, when we don't have too many such references, we don't want to exaggerate the importance of when there's just one instance of something. But there we can see the case that Christ is himself in glory, ready to receive his people. And so again, in days when the church has many enemies and there's much seems to be against us, we can be sure that sitting there, the right hand of the Father, is Christ, who intercedes for us. The one who's given us all, and he's there, and our place is to be with him in this great glory, and the enemies are put underneath his feet. So this psalm should give us great confidence. It says in verse 4, "The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Well, it seems like a strange name. Melchizedek, it sounds very bizarre, but it just means the a king of righteousness. Who was this man spoken about who Abraham gave tithes to? And he's, again, we can read about him in Hebrews, and in it compares Christ now to the priests of Aaron's priest. The Old Testament, the priests were descended from Aaron, but it talks of this one who comes from Judah. And it's strange there, because there's no really mention of a one who comes from Judah. Who is Christ? He's descended from Judah, not from Aaron. And so this is where he's like Melchizedek, this one that's spoken of that doesn't seem to have a beginning or an end. And indeed, Christ is much more glorious than even Melchizedek. But in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, it speaks of the priestly work of Christ. But it's speaking priests about the other priests in verse 11. They would be offering the same sacrifices, which could never take away sins. The Old Testament sacrifices were to learn. It was a picture of the sacrifice of Christ, really. They didn't actually take away sins themselves. It was only through faith in Christ. But this man, speaking of Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down again on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So Christ has entered in, as it were, to the holies of heaven itself by this one sacrifice, but making it as a priest. And here, comparing it to the Old Testament priests, he didn't make a sacrifice for his own sins, it was only for his people, and it was once and for all. And that lovely verse 3 of our Psalm 110, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." This is a great scripture for bringing out the fact that man does not have free will as far as salvation is concerned. He can have free, he can make a free choice about things, about whether he eats dark chocolate or he eats milk chocolate, but he cannot make a free choice about being good. He is a sinner and he's stuck in his sins. But here we read that thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And we may question when this day of this power is. Well, we believe it's when the Holy Spirit brings someone to conviction of sin. And then a person's will is changed and they're made willing then. Their hearts are new. And we have a will to believe the truth of this Lord Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God. We believe him as being our God, our Saviour, our priest, who's made that one offering once and for all for sin, that has been accepted, and he's passed to the right hand of God. And it's not like just going in through the holies of a temple. You go through a curtain, and the priest just went in once a year and with great reverence. But here, to the right hand of God, this is where our sacrifice and accepted Saviour has gone. He's ascended to the right hand of God. A glorious wonder that Christ was always God, but he became man. He took on human nature. The two natures then were fused or joined. Two natures, well, they continued to be two natures in one person. Completely God, completely man, and now it's completely man and God sitting at the right hand of the Father, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And this is our Saviour. This is truth. This is the way things are. This is the way we need to see things, the way we need to think about things. And I say, you can just, Christians can be very afflicted and troubled at times. But we can remember, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. The kings of this world, stricken in the day of God's wrath, when he returns as the great judge. And people laugh and they mock at these things, but it's the plain fact, isn't it, that Christ has died and risen from the dead. He's not here. There isn't a grave anywhere. He's ascended into heaven. He's been vindicated. He's been proven to be true. And there's evidence, of course, in this life that when a person becomes a Christian, sadly we're not perfect, but we're changed. We are made willing. We're made willing to confess that we're sinners. We don't like to go on and on about our sins. It's not a pleasant subject. But we admit that we are sinners. We've been made willing to believe this beauty of holiness that's spoken of in verse 3. We see it not in ourselves, we see it in Christ, in his absolute perfections. And we're attracted to him. We can't resist the Saviour that's died for us. And we're made willing to repent that our love for him isn't what it should be. And we preach him. Acts chapter 2, verse 34. The day of Pentecost. And Peter was preaching. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. I think that this must be one of the most quoted verses of the Old Testament in the New Testament. It's used in so many occasions to encourage people. Then, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now we know that at Pentecost the Holy Spirit came in a mighty way, and it brought mighty conviction here. But through these very, very words that Peter preaches. We could have a look further back there in verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whose God hath risen up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him. This is from Psalm 16. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. And then again, speaking of Christ, this refers to Christ who was not left in hell and to suffer corruption. It was not speaking of David, but it was speaking again here, definitely of Jesus Christ. These prophecies are of him, and yet he speaks there, doesn't he, in verse 25, for he is on my right hand. And there is this great truth that the person in Christ, and I've said this many, many times, is joined to Christ. We're in union with Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. He is the head. We are the parts of the body. And we're in him. So when we put our trust in him to save us from hell, the hell that we deserve, we're with him and we follow him wherever he goes. And that he's at the right hand of God. He's at the right hand of the Father in heaven until he makes his enemies his footstool. And so we with him, the enemies become our footstool. We pray for our enemies. We pray that they'll be converted. But if they're not, at the end, we know that we're absolutely on the right track. We're absolutely safe in Jesus Christ. Take this verse. Take it to heart. When you have a quiet moment, when you're walking from A to B, think through it. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. I tell you, if that scripture, if you're a Christian, that scripture will encourage you hugely. It takes you, you see, from the misery of being an oppressed people on earth. This is a good verse for the people in the wilderness with Moses. When they were complaining, he should have said to them, Take this verse. Remember this. If Moses had had it, he had other ways of encouraging them with the brazen serpent that was raised up. But the Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, God in heaven, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And all the people of God, that time, we're not enemies, are we, if we're in Christ? If we've confessed that we've sinned against him and against God, we've sinned against God, and we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we turn to him as our only hope, then we're not his enemies, we're his friends. He calls, we should be his servants, really, and indeed we are his servants. But he calls his disciples friends. That's not you, you're not an enemy. If you're a friend, are you? You're the exact opposite. In Jesus Christ, you're assured that this heavenly blessing is awaiting us. and you're to be encouraged. And I tell you, this is for a sickness and in health, as we say in our wedding vows, in sickness and in health. And it is with the Lord, whether we're in sickness or in health. The Lord said unto my Lord, the Father said to the Son, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. He's there now. He's in glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. But a day is coming when the enemies are done away with. They're made the footstool of God. It's below him. And the people of God are with him. And this world order is changed. That's the new. This is the new world order that we're to look for. When God judges, it's good that Christians want to do good things in this world. But it's only when God does the things at the end and he judges. That's the only way we're going to take away sin and poverty and oppression. And there are some terrible things in this life. And it's good what Christians try and do to make the world a bit of a better place. But ultimately, people need the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemies of God need to be saved. They need to turn to Christ, or there's nothing that can be done for them. You can give a man a pound so he's got something to get some food with, but he needs Jesus Christ so he's got eternal food, the bread of life. That's what man needs to live on, the bread of life, the Lord Jesus. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. We're to love our enemies. We've said that. We don't hate them. We love them. But this is a warning to them. So the people of this world are very proud, and they put down Christianity as being a paper tiger, is it? I think it's got no bite to it, because Christians love their enemies. We should be very gentle with those that are against us, although we'd be firm on what we believe. But the Lord isn't to be messed with. He's not to be mocked. There is this great day coming when the Lord will stand up as judge and come on the clouds of heaven, and this world will be judged. Whether that takes a day or 1,000 years, it's happening. It'll happen. It's called the day of the Lord, and the enemies are all finished with. It's the most urgent thing that people know about this truth, that there's this one great priest. We must pray that God will make these people willing, that this power that we know of, something of this power that's affected us, of Christ and the Holy Spirit coming to us and bringing us to conversion, this is the only power that makes people willing, that changes them from sin to God. And as we say, we still have indwelling sin, but the perfect is to come. So I want this to be an encouragement, especially we know those who aren't well today, and the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near, though he's in heaven. The Lord is near. The Lord Jesus Christ is reigning, the right hand of the Father, until he makes his enemies his footstool. Amen.